Bung Bung.
Welcome to the party. Is of course brought to you by Bung Bung Coffee, the best modern dark roast you can buy. It's the best on the market, and there's no debating that. And you know, maybe there is. Maybe some other companies would say that they're the best, but that would be unsourced. This right here, this is sourced directly from South America. The best coffee country in the world, coffee continent in the world, and we've got it from four countries there. I'm talking Colombia, Brazil, Honduras, and Peru. And you know, I picked these beans. Like, I didn't pick them off the plant, but like I did my research. I did tests, taste tests, and I was like, wow, this is the best coffee I've ever. This is the best blend I've ever tasted. You can't get better than this. Now look at us, Bung Bung Coffee. Do you want that perfect blend on the tip of your tongue? Then you got to go to bungbungcoffee.com. Get this shit delivered, damn. Get this delivered directly to your door. Bungbungcoffee.com. And get it delivered directly to your door at a discount if we enter promo code PODDY. That's P-O-D-D-Y. P-O-D-D-Y for 15% off all orders, no matter how big or small. P-O-D-D-Y at bungbungcoffee.com. And go to claymcmathcomedy.com for all my tour dates and all podcast merch. Don't forget that you can win free podcast merch by sharing the show. So, you know, you send a text to your family group chat that's got a link to the party in it. All you got to do is just take a screenshot of that, send it to the DMs on Instagram or whatever, and bang, you're in the draw to win free merch for that month. Will you ever win two of the same merch? No. If you're a double up, triple up, quadruple up winner, you're going to get new merch each time because we track that. Wow. Unbelievable scenes. So you share that 1,000 times in a month, you get 1,000 entries that month. Think about that. We're trying to grow the show. You help us, we help you with free merch. Also at claymcmathcomedy.com, you can catch all my tour dates, and we're just going to go through those real quick. All right, coming up, we've got March 2nd at Chuckles Comedy. That's Adelaide Fringe. February 27th to March 3rd, All Stars Comedy Showcase, Adelaide Fringe. March 5th to 9th, Not Safe for Netflix. That's my show with the Cold-Blooded Comedy Boys. That's at the Adelaide Fringe. 21st, Cold-Blooded Comedy at Distill in Adelaide. March 22nd, Cold-Blooded Comedy at West Therby Social Club at Theberden. March 23rd, Cold-Blooded Comedy at the Sussex Hotel in Walkerville. April 18th, Cold-Blooded Comedy at Millage's Distillation in Port Adelaide. April 19th, Cold-Blooded Comedy at the Hotel Victor in Victor Harbour. April 20th, Cold-Blooded Comedy at the Bloomberg in Birdwood. April 26th, Cold-Blooded Comedy at the Gilbert Street Hotel in Adelaide. May 16th, Cold-Blooded Comedy at the Republic in Norwood. May 17th, Cold-Blooded Comedy at Hotel Elliot in Port Elliot. And I don't remember the date off the top of my head. It's not on the website yet, but we've got one in Ararat, Victoria. So claymcmathcomedy.com for all my tour dates. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the party. Best show on the internet, ask anybody. You know it's easy money. Sit back, relax, get your headphones, everybody. Welcome to the party. Blackout in the booth, every episode's a party. We go hard like Ricky Bobby. Tell a friend to tell a friend. This is Welcome to the Party.
Welcome to the party, Bung Bung. It's your man Claytron, aka the Big Boss Man, aka the Clumsy Jeweler, because I'm always dropping gems, aka the Milkman, because I always deliver, aka the PhD of podcasting, the Magnum PI of podcasting, the Captain, the Pat, Patrick Mahomes of podcasting, because every time I get on the mic, I'm coming at the neck of the goat. We're here again with Bored Man. What's good?
Not much, man. Good to be back.
It's been a little bit.
Yeah, I think like 6 or 7 weeks.
Oh, that long?
Yeah.
You haven't been on since the new year?
Nah. I was probably like a week or two before Christmas. Oh, as well, wow. Since I was last on. So,
wow. It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a little bit, but back again.
Yep. Sounds like you got a fair bit of comedy stuff lined up.
That's great. Was probably, that got skipped by a lot of people, I think. But yeah, just go to claymcbathcomedy.com. But yeah, we got shows.
Love it.
Yeah, yeah, it's good, man. Busiest year of comedy so far. A lot of it hasn't happened yet, but like, yeah, man.
Good place to be in.
Yeah, like I've done two festivals in 1 year before, but one of them was only two nights. And then the other one was a week, so that's only seven nights of comedy. I've got much more than seven nights, as you just heard, happening. And I've already been to Brisbane this year for four nights. So yeah, it's popping this year, man. It's popping. So yeah, if anyone wants to help out, sponsor your boy with some sort of like, send me a travel voucher or even. Like a Gloria Jean's coffee voucher. Now I don't really drink their coffee because it's trash. No offense. But I know that they do gift vouchers. So if you want to hit me with a Gloria Jean's gift voucher just so I don't have to buy coffee for a day, you know what the email is. It's in the link in bio, I think. If it's not, clay@welcometothepotty.com.
Say no, people.
Yeah. How you been? You been all right?
Yeah, I've been good.
What's been popping this year?
I guess since I've been on, there was Christmas, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
Went away for New Year's for a couple of nights.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't supposed to come. I got invited to come and, I got dogs, got a kid. I mean, kid was invited, but the dogs, it's hard to get a sitter on New Year's for dogs.
Yeah. I can't remember whether this listing was like dog friendly. Probably would have been all right. There was a nice size yard, but.
It looked big.
We're thinking about going back to the same place next year, so we'll.
Yeah, if it's dog friendly, maybe we can swing it. Yeah. That time of year, I get that it's a family time. I get it, but I feel like there's so much pressure to be with your family, and if you're in a relationship, your significant other's family, that it's like sometimes if you've got limited family in your location or whatever. Sometimes it's nice to catch your friends, and it's also because they've got so much pressure to see their family and shit. It's so hard to see your friends around that time, and I find that time of year is like it's the only time I'm not working. It's the only time like I've really got more than a day or two to like see my friends. And I never get to, and I always come out of that time of year feeling bummed, man.
I reckon this year, let's make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
Lock it in a few months in advance.
Yeah. Did you do any resolutions? I know some people don't really think, like, if I'm going to make change, I'll just fucking do it when I want to make it. But did you do a...
No, not really. All went out the window by, like, the 3rd or 4th of January anyway, so... No, I'm not going to say I did. How about you?
First, I'll just recap my resolution from last year. I had a resolution to do 100 push-ups a day for the entire year. And I reckon I made it definitely through March.
Yeah, that's pretty good. What, 90 odd days?
Yeah. And then there was just like 1 week where it just wasn't happening. And then it just was like, oh, okay, so now I've got to catch up 700. And then it just completely dropped off. Because, you know, like if you set a goal and then if you're not going to reach it, then it's like, why am I doing this?
Yeah, that's why. Up with me.
Yeah, that's why resolution is a bad idea.
Yeah, the moment it pops in your head, you should have started. You don't need to wait for it first.
Yeah, and I should have reset. I should have just said, okay.
As of April.
I'm going to stop recording my progress and record it from now and do 100 a day from now. But I just said, oh, I fucked it. So why would I keep going?
Yeah, that's pretty much the exact same thing that happened with me.
Yeah.
Like 50 push-ups, 50 sit-ups, and then put my back out and couldn't move for a
See, that's tough. Week. Injury,
and
see?
Since then, I just can't be bothered.
Yeah, you're the Joel Embiid of sit-ups.
It was so demoralizing, dude. Like three sit-ups in, then couldn't get up off the
floor. It happened during a sit-up?
So embarrassing, man.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. But abs is important for your whole back situation too.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know, I was trying to do it first thing in the morning. So I was literally like 35 seconds out of bed and wasn't ready. Didn't stretch.
We're at that age now, bro. Not getting any younger. Our resolution really should be stretching.
Yeah. Just been doing that instead.
Yeah. But this year, my resolution. So that was yours this year was 50 and 50.
50 and 50 a day. It's not too much. Pretty manageable. And I should get back into it because it's really not much.
Because the abs, obviously, that's what, you know, hurt you this time. But the abs is like the easy part.
Yeah.
The push up, the 100 push ups was hard. So I think once I got to that point, I was kind of happy to give it up. And the frustrating thing was, I was starting to get some feedback that I wasn't asking for. People are like, oh, are you getting back in the gym? Like, you're working out. Because, you know, I'm a fat slob. So, like, people started hitting me with, like, oh, like, this motherfucker's been working out again. Like, just from 100 push-ups a day. But it was hard work.
You can imagine that's a pretty good feeling.
Yeah.
Hearing stuff like that.
Yeah. So, that was cool. But, I fucked it up. But, so this year, what was it this year? I think I'm very time poor at the moment. So I do want to lose some weight, but I don't have time to like really increase my exercise. And if you listen to like, you know, enough motivational podcasts, they'll tell you to give up sleep. Well, why aren't you getting up at 4 a.m? Well, why don't you suck my dick? Do you know what I mean? The answer is the same because I'm not going to do that. So I just wanted to eat a bit cleaner this year. And not good so far.
Yeah, and I see you got a Hungry Jack's opening up a couple of kilometers away down the road. Sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but I'll tell you this. I remember there was a period there last year, like mid to late last year, where you introduced me to the Biscoff Storm and I was hitting that bitch so hard, bro. Shout out to Miles Bridges, but but I haven't had a Biscoff Storm in a minute.
I think they're gone.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we were sitting on the couch the other night and I brought it up, and then Hannah looked it up and I don't think they make them anymore.
But did she look that up on Uber Eats? Because they never were on Uber Eats.
No, I think it was on the Hungry Jack's website.
Okay, and it's real sad that I know that they never were on Uber Eats as well, but yeah, I haven't done that. I've been eating better, but I wouldn't say I've been eating clean. Like I've been staying away from like the fucking burgers and fries, but I've still been like smashing like 30 dumplings, you know.
Yeah, okay. I was about to ask, so are you eating like a regular serving, or are you going back for seconds and thirds?
Oh, I'm going crazy for seconds and thirds, bro. And that's my main thing. And we do a lot of pasta here because pasta, Kenny bodies pasta, bro. Bodies it. And so like it's so much easier to just cook one batch of something than to cook yourselves a meal and then him a meal.
Especially pasta.
Oh, so light. So yeah. Eating cleaner, not just clean, cleaner is one. I feel that's achievable. And I feel like I have been. It's not great, but I feel like I have been. So eating cleaner. And I just want to record I just want to do like accounting on comedy this year, which like I do to an extent. Like I save my receipts and do the tax and stuff, but I'm going to do profit and loss this year. So I'm going to track like exactly how much I'm spending on fuel for comedy and flights, trains and Ubers when I'm interstate, all that type of jazz, and just see what that ends up looking like at the end of the year, and figure out what to do from there.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that late last year. I think that'd be a good thing.
Yeah,
track, see how it all pans out.
Yeah, so I've set up the spreadsheet. I haven't completed the Brisbane trip and stuff yet, but I've got all my receipts and shit, so I'll be able to sort that out. But yeah, that's my resolution.
Okay.
Yes. Resolutions. Anyway. Oh yeah. Anything else? Anything else been happening? So you guys went away for New Year's.
Went away for New Year's.
And then you went away again.
About a week later, we just went away for one night.
Just one night, was it?
Yeah, we bought a swag last year and we just hadn't used it, so had to make sure it worked.
Just like a campsite?
Yeah, I just went to Noriopa Caravan Park, stayed there for a night.
Two-person swag. And how'd it go?
Yeah, it was fine. It's good. Slept with the just the fly screen. It's great. Just
yeah, because it was like hot that time. It's been like a mild summer for Adelaide.
So hot that day though. Yeah. We don't have like really any camping gear, so we're just cooking out in the sun.
Yeah.
But
what did you do while you
went to a couple of wineries during the day, just sat in the air conditioning, doing a few tastings.
How much time did you spend at the campsite, you think?
We got there at like 2 p.m. maybe, set up the swag, then we got back in the car and went off to wineries for like 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah. Came back, just went to bed.
No, we had like 2 camping chairs, so we just sat there till like 9.
Drinking or?
Yeah, we're just drinking wine that we bought during the day.
Yeah.
What
do you talk about with your girlfriend?
Just playing card games.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just bought some cards while we're down there.
Just avoid conversation at all costs.
Yeah, I can't actually remember the conversations we had that day.
What do you guys talk about, like, in general?
Yeah, that's a really good question, man. Just things in general, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
How about you? What do you and Rach talk
about? Yeah, probably mad boring, like, you know, is there a load in the dishwasher? You know, shit like that. I mean, washing machine. We don't have a dishwasher, but shit like that. Yeah, what's in the washing machine? Oh, you should have seen what Kenny did. How was work?
Yeah, heaps of work talk.
Oh, man. We minimize work talk. We do make an effort not to talk about work because, like, motherfuckers just was there all day.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess.
If you have to vent, we've got a rule. If there's, like, something you got to get off your chest, like, let's do it.
Yeah.
But let's not. We know each other enough to not need to do small talk about work. Let's not do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you don't give a fuck. You don't give a fuck about who I had to manage today. Like, what are we talking about?
True. Yeah, we try to limit it because we're going to work a few times a week together. So, like, while we're in the car, we'll talk about it. But once we get home, then we just talk about chores.
Yeah. Yeah, that's way better. Anyway, let's get into Clay's reviews, man, and get this over and done with because it's late.
Comedy, action, or horror? Will this movie win an Oscar? Set design, directing, acting, lighting, or costumes? This segment is Clay's Reviews.
All right, so I got 2 movies this week. We both watched one. I'm going to do mine first and go in and out.
Yep, sounds good.
John Wick, Chapter 4. This was on Binge. This has absolutely nothing to do with the movie, but I ate chicken curry while I was watching it. And it kind of does have something to do with the movie because they were actually, a big portion of the movie was in a hotel in some part of Asia. I don't know if it was Japan. I think it was a Japan. Yeah? But you can get Japanese chicken curry.
You can. This sounds like one of my kind of links to a snack.
Yeah.
Like real abstraction.
Yeah, this was more of a, this was more of a Indian style curry too, but that's as close as I can get.
Yeah.
In this hotel, I simply cannot believe how many people got hit in the dick with nunchucks. I can't tell if that was supposed to be funny, but I thought it was. I mean, to have you have you seen any John Wick films?
Yeah, I've seen the first 3. Got really into it, actually.
Right, so you understand the amount of bodies thrown at this man. In this one scene, he is straight up just nunchuck, that he makes sure he hits every single person in the dick with these nunchucks.
Okay.
It's crazy. It's crazy. I also thought Keanu Reeves was taking the piss a bit. Now, I'm not in any forums or any, like, John Wick community. Now, I don't know if the community maybe was asking for this because it just seemed like he was exaggerating the character a bit. You know how slow he talks?
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Dude, it seemed like he was taking the piss. So I think early in the movie, you know, he kills someone who's a leader of something and they're like, it wasn't an Asian guy, so I won't do an Asian accent. But the guy basically said, if you kill me, they're gonna kill you. What are you gonna do? You know?
Yep.
And he goes, I'm going to kill them all. For no reason. Like, he wasn't holding a bullet wound when he said this. That's just how he talked back to the guy and then blew his brains out. No home loans.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Well, and he was just talking like this throughout the whole film.
Yeah. Yeah, and he even had another line that was like the exact same one. I think he said, I'm going to kill you and I'm not going to make an imitation of it because it'll take 15 minutes. I felt like he was taking the piss, man.
Oh, I got to say this myself. I've been meaning to.
It was fun, man. I love John Wick. I love all of them. Similar to, I just reviewed The Equalizer on the last episode, Equalizer 3 on the last episode. And I just love my fucker that can just body everybody, you know? It's not realistic. You know, his suit's made out of Kevlar, so he runs around going like this, holding the, you know how your suit jacket kind of feels like it's wings?
Yep.
He just pulls it up and runs around. Poof, 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 poof. I think it's hilarious, but it's also like mad dope. Yeah, it was fun, man.
Before you rate it, is that where you're going to or not?
No, I've still got some more points here. Going. But yeah, I just feel like the movie, I think the movie was almost three, it was almost 3 hours. I think it was 250 or something. I think if he spat some lines out, he could have got that down to 220.
Yeah, okay.
But he was playing games.
I hope they listen to this before five. Just speed up the vocab.
Well,
get it out.
Can you hit spoiler alert?
Oh no! Don't tell me.
Cut it. I don't think there's going to be five. There's rumors of a five.
Oh, so he's still alive then?
There's rumors of a five.
Okay.
They left the ending ambiguous, where you could easily close it off, you could easily open it back up, no home loans. But I think, I don't know, the way I've seen sort of like interviews with the director and with Keanu, and they kind of allude to it being like, do we need to do another one type of shit.
Now, is this the same director that's done the other three?
I believe so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Forget his name.
Chad Stahelski? Stahelski? Is that how you say it? Stahelski.
All I know is that it's all unsourced here at the Welcome to the Body Podcast, honestly.
Okay.
The lighting was impeccable. It was all like kind of orange and blue and purple. It reminded me of the film Only God Forgives, starring Ryan Gosling. I would say the music could only be described as fucking hectic. Shout out to Flash 89. I think he could maybe score the John Wick 5 if there is one. And I'm officially putting his name forward right now, because I know for a fact that there are some fucking industry motherfuckers that watch this podcast, bro. Some of the likes I get on some of these posts, I'm like, okay, I see you. So shout out to Flash 89. Reach out to Flash 89 to do John Wick on the next installment, because Flash 89's music is hectic enough to get you through this. Sorry, did you have something to say?
Not just now.
Okay. My favorite scene in the entire film was, there's this guy, Scott Adkins. Now, I can't remember if we both watched this movie or not, Avengement. It was a guy, he got out of jail. It was a British movie. Guy got out of jail.
Yeah, I watched this.
Yeah. So that's Scott Adkins.
Okay.
And he's like, he's sort of like a, do you know Michael Jai White?
No.
He is like a black kung fu dude that does a lot of like these wild movies with wild fight scenes and Scott Adkins is one of these dudes. Like a Jason Statham.
I recognize this dude.
Yeah. He's like a Jason Statham, but like probably Jason Statham's too famous to like do the types of movies that Scott Adkins does. Like he does full on like just white person martial arts films.
Okay.
And he was in a fat suit in this. And he beat the shit out of John Wick in a fat suit, which I thought, one, is so sick in terms of like how hard it would be to move in a fat suit, and that like dudes like Scott Adkins do a lot of their own stunts. So I'm guessing a lot of the choreography he was actually doing, which is impressive as fuck, because like you're carrying, you know, 200 pounds or something. So that motherfucker must be able to fight too.
I know you see this film. I was spewing, I didn't watch it in the past couple nights.
Yeah. So that was a dope scene. And yeah, I think the main takeaway is that there was a big hotel scene in an Asian country. And I've stayed in a hotel in China. I went there for like a Nike All Asia camp. And it was what's known as a 6-star hotel, which is, you know, a 5-star hotel.
I've heard of them. I don't think I've stayed in one.
Yeah, so it's like a 5-star hotel, except it's got an extra star.
How does it get the star?
Well,
anything like blatantly obvious or some finer details?
Well, it was pretty lit. Like, you know, we're talking, we got like the rain, you would know what it's called, like the raindrop shower head, the overhead joint.
I know what you're talking about.
But yeah. It wasn't even a shower head.
Like up in the ceiling.
This bitch was coming from the ceiling.
Yeah, dope.
You know. Mad glass. There's a lot of glass happening. Now, there was a big spread for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If you like rice, that's dope. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it was mainly just rice and different, like, various toppings on rice. So, whatever. But I'll tell you one thing that this hotel had that no other hotel I've ever been to had. A brothel in the basement.
Sorry, that's what the one in the movie had, or the one that you stayed at?
The one I stayed at. Yeah, in real life. Now, I had a girlfriend at the time. You know her. First name, Hannah. Mm-hmm. Not your girlfriend. But, so I didn't have the, you know, I was a better man than that. I couldn't go to the brothel. But a couple of the dudes I was with went there. One of them said he went there and got his, I think they call it salad tossed. And he said I asked him, do you bend over? Do you bend over like you're about to take one? Or do you go backwards like you're getting your die-die changed? And he said he went in to change the die-die position. Which I think, I mean, that's worth an extra star.
Yeah, so that's the differentiator.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So that's I've had, basically what I took from this movie is that I've had a similar experience to John Wick in that I've been in a hotel in Asia. Man, I've never had that many, like I might have that many haters, but I don't even know about him if I do. He, motherfuckers, was going at this motherfucker, dude.
How many bodies do you reckon he had by the end of it?
I wish I even considered doing the math on that, because that would be fantastic to know. I'm sure that you could Google it, because someone would have, some fucking virgin would have done the math.
Yeah, for sure. But like, did it feel like at least one a minute? Because I feel like the other John Wick films are pretty intense with the action. Like it's just nonstop killing.
One a minute would be a gross underestimation.
And how long was this film again? Like nearly 3 hours.
It's nearly 3 hours. But I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. 1 minute for the film, maybe.
Just under 200.
I'm just, per minute in the action scenes, he's getting.
He might get like 12 a minute or something. Yeah. Maybe more.
Yeah, yeah. In those scenes, like he's really.
And then he chills for like letting a minute snow, and a half, but like and gets back into
he's got a couple. He's got a couple of scenes where, you know, he's not catching bodies for 20 seconds because he's too busy hitting niggas in the nuts. You know, yeah, okay. Like he was
softer violence,
nunchucking dudes in the dick so much in this movie. Unbelievable scenes, bruh. I got to call this one a 7.
Okay. And then this takes me to my question I was going to ask you earlier. Where does it stack up with the other three?
I have seen them all, but number one is really the only one that stands out to me, like in term, like in terms of memory. Like I can remember number one clearly. So I've just got to say it goes number one and then tied for fourth for the rest. Tied for second or tied for fourth? How's that work?
Let's go with fourth.
Yeah. Number one just is mad memorable. Maybe because it was the first one and I was like, holy shit, I hope this is a franchise, and then it is.
Yeah. And it, even though there was a lot of violence in it and it was kind of ridiculous, I don't know, something about that story just sticks with you.
All right. Punch Drunk Love?
Yes.
So we both watched this.
Yeah, I watched this a couple of weeks back. I had to do it over two sittings.
And this one is, I can't remember what year it was. Do you have that in front of you?
2002.
And we're only watching it in 24, which is crazy. Mm. I'd heard of it, I suppose. I am a Paul Thomas Anderson fan. Like he did, and now I can't remember the name of the movie because I had four beers. The one with Mark Wahlberg. Where he's got a big dick.
Boogie Nights,
yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman, one of the greats, honestly. One of the fucking greats in terms of acting. But if you haven't seen Capote, which is about William Capote, the author, which sounds boring, and it kind of is, but just the, like, if you watch him act in it, it's just like, it's amazing. And then there's Amadeus, which is about, I think, who did Amadeus? Is that Mozart? Or who's the other big guy? Amadeus. Who's the other big composer? Beethoven? It's about one of those dudes.
Okay.
And he just crushes it, bro. I recommend, if anybody's like, oh, man, what should we watch next? We've caught up with every, you know, TV show we want to watch. I want to do a marathon. Should we do the Fast and the Furious? No. Watch all of Philip Seymour Hoffman's movies, bro. That's something. That motherfucker can act, bro.
When did he die?
Oh.
Roughly 2014, a while back.
Yeah, it was a while back. Oh, that was the year I graduated.
Congratulations.
Yeah. They say every time someone graduates, someone dies.
Clear the path for you.
Anyway, let's get back to Punch Drunk Love. Do you remember what you snacked on?
No idea, man.
I bought some of those, you know, those Valentine's Day candies, the Love Heart joints.
No, I haven't seen them.
Yeah, you have. And they sell like B-mine and shit.
Never seen them, man. I gotta look them off. I never go grocery shopping.
They say like, I love you, be mine.
What color are they?
You're the one. They're different colors. And they're just like, they're like
red and white.
Nah, they're just like chalky, like pastel, like.
Oh, okay.
Like they're very pale, like purple, pink, green, white, even blue.
Are they available year round or is that just a pre-Valentine's
thing? Yeah, I think you can get them year round.
I've seen them, but not that much. I didn't realize they were that common.
It's fucking nuts, bro.
Thought it was like a holiday candy.
That's fucking crazy, bro. But that's what I got for this. Just because it had love in the title, love, really.
Yep.
I considered getting lit for it.
just punching guns.
Yeah. I considered inviting Miles Bridges over. This motherfucker's getting it this episode, bro.
Did you rinse the whole bag?
Nah, I didn't even get close. I'd like six of them, maybe.
It used to be such a sweet tooth, but I don't know. I can't sit there and just mung on candies now. I could have like one or two, but...
Oh, for real?
Chocolate I can keep going, but candy's just it's too much for me these days.
Those ones were like crazy sweet, but like I can smash like a bag of snakes.
Okay, maybe snakes I can make an exception, but I don't know. Like I couldn't sit there and just eat a whole thing of Starburst anymore.
Starburst is lit. Like, they're so sweet.
They're so good. I love them. But
they are crazy sweet though. But like natural confectionery, I can smash it. Except for the sour worms because they're covered in sugar as well.
All right, I'll make an exception for that. I'll polish a bag of those.
A sour worm you've smashed, and you're saying you don't have a sweet tooth anymore.
Because they're sour.
But they're covered in sugar, man.
But they're a little bit sour, so it makes it tolerable.
They're a little bit sour, so you can smash them. No home loan.
Makes all the difference, man.
Man.
Back to Punch Drunk Love, what are we talking about? So snacks, that's out the way.
Oh, yeah. So Sandler. What did you think of his performance? He was still kind of like Happy Gilmore in it.
Yeah, I watched it with Hannah. Like, we started watching it together and neither of us had heard of this before. And yeah, just had no idea where this film was going for a good part of it.
Yeah.
For the most of it, really. And I got a little bit disengaged towards the end. So that's why I had to come back and finish it the next night.
Towards the end, how far towards the end? Was he in Hawaii towards the end or?
I think he was like airport on the way back.
Yeah.
Something like that. I think that's about where I jumped back in.
Yeah, I actually felt a little bit the same actually. Like I lost interest around there. But there was a lot that I liked about this. And I thought that Sandler actually did this well. And I thought he did it well in Happy Gilmore as well, where he's just sort of like teetering on the edge of losing it all the time. But the way he did it, there was a comedic aspect to it, but it also was so much more serious than Happy Gilmore. Like you could feel the pain a bit more, where in Happy Gilmore is just like, this guy's a fucking psycho. Yeah. In this, you could like kind of feel the pain, and I feel like maybe that's like an underrated performance for him to differentiate that. Like, if you could just channel Happy Gilmore, but the fact that he did something, I can't even like really put my finger on what it was that you could feel the pain though.
Yeah, the loneliness. I don't know. I believed him. I believed that he really did feel that lonely.
But
I haven't felt that from Sandler in many other films.
Anything, maybe.
Anything.
But what about the history? Like, there was, like, history of his sisters bullying it. He had, like, seven sisters, and it was just him, and his sisters used to, like, give him a hard time, and he'd just, like, explode and smash shit. But then the conversation that he had with his sister's husband or boyfriend or something, who was a psychiatrist, it was so real, so raw. And he's like telling him like, I just want some help. Like, I'm not always happy all the time. He says, sometimes I just cry for no reason, which is like mad sad, but like it was so like, it's like kind of funny, man.
I wasn't laughing at him then, but
I laughed at that. And then I didn't think the cry was believable either. I think maybe that got me.
Okay.
Like, he put his face in his hands and like,
yeah, okay.
I think maybe he tried to cry and like PTA was like, you know what, just cover your fucking face up. but yeah, there was the loneliness, like you said, was evident, and the hope of finding somebody was like the only thing that kept him going.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a weird movie.
Yeah.
It kind of, the tempo of it kind of reminded me of Uncut Gems. I felt on edge the whole time, whether it was like the background music or the silences.
Yeah.
But there was just a lot of like the background music sort of carrying the dialogue and like the pace of the film.
Yeah, I wonder if the Safdie brothers are influenced by PTA at all.
Because I reckon like the first half an hour, 45 minutes of this film, I was just thinking like, this is just reminding me of Uncut Gems. Not the story at all. But
Uncut Gems?
Wait, was that in the movie or was that, that was just a quote on
that? Was the, that bitch Julia Fox was on like a podcast and she was like,
Kanye.
She was like, yeah, like Ban Safte. Like, I was like, his meows for like Uncle Chumps.
Uncle Chumps.
Fucking dumb bitch. Man. There's no dumber accent than the Valley accent, except maybe like Wisconsin or like, you know, that up north, that real northern United States shit. Did you watch Making a Murderer?
No.
Oh, shit. You're mad behind, but I think it's still worth watching it.
Which state did you say?
Like Wisconsin? These motherfuckers sound like idiots, bro. I don't care. Dude, I would go to a doctor in a different state if I had to.
All right, I'll have to listen to something after this.
Yeah, yeah. Stephen Avery. Like, these motherfuckers just sound stupid. Them, the Valley accent, and then, like if you're, like, from, like, Southie in Boston, and you got that, you've seen, like, The Town?
No, I've never seen The Town.
Bro, that's a banger.
I've heard so much about it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah, see it.
Reviewed it?
Yeah, bro. But that, I'll watch. That's, like, maybe not yearly, but that's a regular rewatch. I love that movie. Yeah,
maybe later this year.
Yeah. But they're like their accent where they're like American, but they say like hard.
What's what was Brett Brown? Is it like that accent?
I can't remember Brett Brown's accent.
I think he was from Maine.
I thought Brett Brown was from Australia.
I think he just coached the Australian team for ages, oh. So he had that association.
Maine, yeah, that northeast shit.
He kind of sounded like that to me whenever I listen to press conferences.
Yeah, so like, Americans, if they were going to say dot, right, they'd say like dot.
Yeah. And
so like, instead of saying, score, they'd say scar.
Scar. Wait, say it again.
So like dot, right? So that O sound is like like dot. Like like that's just Americans in general, right? But like that northeast accent for like an O-R, a lot of people mistake and they think it's like Australians where we say or, like score. But they cut it even shorter and it'll be like scar. What was a scar?
Okay.
Yeah, they sound like fucking idiots, man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Were there many people at your college that sounded like that?
So many, bro.
Fuck. So many. How'd you do it?
Dude, I remember my first night at college. My first night at college was actually one of my most hectic nights at college. I went there, rocked up, and I didn't know that you had to have your own linen. I kind of thought it was like a hotel situation. I get there, I've just got this bullshit, disgusting fucking plastic mattress. And Dan was in the room when I arrived, roommate Dan, not to be confused with housemate Dan. And he had spare linen. He was like, oh, dude, take this. Absolute legend. I was like, thanks heaps, bro. And he goes, heaps? Because they don't say like that. He was like, what do you mean like it? Like heaps loads? Like, so that was fucking crazy. Then he's like, dude, I've already met some dudes. Like, let's go like have some drinks, man. I think I got there on like a Friday or Saturday night. He's like, let's go have some drinks, have fun, everybody. We go, we're drinking this green shit as bright as your koozie over there. And this dude's like, I can't even really do that. So he's like, yeah, dude, have some of the Green Master. And I'm like, all right. He's like, yeah, dude, you like booze beers? I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now, man?
Booze beers.
Booze beers, right?
And what was the first thing you said? Green Monster.
Yeah, because the Fenway Park where the Red Sox play, there's a big green wall.
Okay.
Called the Green Monster. And I guess they make this green punch that they call the Green Monster. And I didn't know where the fuck I was, bro. It was fucking crazy. I had a girlfriend in Australia at the time. I think it's statute of limitations by now, yes?
Yeah, what's it been? 10 years?
Yeah.
Longer.
Longer. 20. Longer. Close to 20.
Yeah.
15 at least.
15, yeah.
So I cheated on her my first night at college, like obviously. and I banged this girl, and I'm fucking wasted. I've been drinking Green Master all night, bro. I'm fucked. I bang this chick, and we're done. And I'm just like, oh shit. Oh, like the room starts spinning as soon as we're finished. I run to the bathroom. I'm fucking yakking my fucking guts up. Dan comes back to the room. There's a chick in my bed. He's like, where's Clay? She's like, I think he's in the bathroom. He goes in there and he's like, oh, bro, you all right? Like, I'm like, oh, get back in there, bro. She's stealing all our shit. I just thought she was robbing us, dude. Just fucking dumb shit, man. But
I'm not going to do the accent, but it sounds like the monster got you good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Green Master. Green Master, bro. Have some Green Master. Fucking crazy. Fucking dumbest cunts, bro. But I can't remember why we started talking about that. That's crazy.
Just talking about accents. You're talking about Wisconsin accent for some reason. Then we got on to Brett Brown, ended up in Maine.
How did we even start talking about accents?
I don't know. Wisconsin came up.
I was talking about someone sounding so dumb.
Oh, Kanye's ex-girlfriend.
Oh, Uncle Chams? Yeah, okay, yeah, there we go.
Uncle Chams, yeah, we're back.
All right, so... yeah, so you felt like mad anxiety from the way they were.
I wouldn't say anxiety, but
yeah,
I couldn't
definitely
relax.
It wasn't on the same level of as
Uncle Chams. Not close, but I was getting a similar sort of feeling.
Like, yeah,
I
yeah, yeah.
I couldn't
for
just
sure.
chill on the couch and watch this film. It was like,
and Sandler didn't stop moving.
Yeah, that too.
Sandler was all just jittery and fucking. Yeah. The conversations were like, the music was always pumping while I was on the phone. I was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to talk to you later. Okay, yeah. Okay, don't talk to me like that, okay? Like, just, yeah, I thought he crushed it, bro. I thought he crushed it. I read some reviews, and a few reviews were saying that he, like Sandler didn't prove himself as an actor, but, you know, PTA carried him over the line or some shit. I thought he fucking crushed it, man, to be honest. And I think, you know, shot selection from PTA and, you know, whoever his director of photography was like a lot of that shit from the side, especially in his, you know, office/warehouse. Mm-hmm. I thought like it fucking paced it quickened the pace where, especially with the music and the sort of uncertainty of where this piano or what was it called? A harmonium came from. The pace at the same time as that I thought was genius level shit. I thought you said it was a weird movie.
Yeah, we both just thought it was pretty weird. Hannah bailed on the last like half an hour.
It was weird. It was certainly one of a kind.
Yeah.
There's no comparing it to anything. There's no saying like, oh, you're doing it just like, you know. Mm. It was original as fuck. I mentioned the harmonium just a moment ago. I don't remember that really adding anything to the movie. Do you?
I can't remember how that ended. They just throw it out in the end? How to get rid of it?
I don't remember, but like, it wasn't the property of like the bad guys.
No,
it wasn't her property.
He just associated like all this shit going wrong with the day that he brought it in off the street, didn't he? I thought that's what it was. It was just symbolism of like all this crap's been happening since I brought this thing into my office.
Oh right,
I gotta get rid of it.
Yeah, I don't really like that.
I don't know if that's what it was, but that was just my take on the harmonium.
Whatever the take was, unless I'm missing something, I just didn't like it. One, it was unclear, and two, it don't you think all that shit could have gone wrong without a random instrument being placed in the film?
Yeah. I'm just looking up to see what people are saying about it. The harmonium represents a symbol of love, and as the harmony between Barry and Lena grows, so does their love and relationship. I'm not rolling with that.
As the harmony between them grows, so does their love and relationship.
Fucked it after.
That doesn't still say anything about the harmonium, though.
It just says it represents a symbol of love.
Imagine, do you know...
That's the fluffiest shit I've ever read in my life. Not rolling with that.
Imagine if he got... The better he got at playing it, the stronger their love became. That would make more sense. This motherfucker was just sitting in his office.
Doing nothing.
Yeah. Doesn't even make sense, bro. So that threw me, because the whole movie, I couldn't stop thinking about that fucking thing and nothing was happening with it. And then at the end, I was like, what? Why the fuck was that in the movie?
Lots of theories on its symbolism, but...
Yeah,
don't know, man.
I like your take better, that the day it came, shit started going wrong. But shit really started going wrong when he made that first phone call to the sex hotline.
And he made that call before it came in.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. He really, that's, if they made this movie today, that would have been him signing up to OnlyFans.
Was it the first call where he fucked up, or was it when she called him back? Like, I know the initial call is what set it all off.
How'd he fuck up?
He gave her, like, details. Didn't he give her credit card details? That all happened in the
first phone call.
Okay.
But he was, like, mad skeptical. He was like, no, well, why would I be giving you my phone number if I called you? And they're like, oh, it's a callback service.
Why'd she call him back then if she already had his credit card details?
Well, because she called him back to be like, oh, my rent, I'm having trouble paying my rent. Well, he didn't talk to her first. Well, he did, but they act like it's...
The same girl each time.
No, well, the first person they talk to is like, oh, what kind of girl do you want, blah, blah, blah. And then, oh, yeah, we'll line you up with a girl and she'll call you back, but it's the same chick that calls him back.
Yeah.
Like, she's pretending to be a receptionist or a pimp or whatever the fuck she's supposed to be. But, he was like, why am I giving you my phone number? And they're like, oh, it's a callback service. Like, this is just like standard. So he was mad skeptical, but it did end up being a big stitch up, big scam. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got anything?
No, nothing really in depth, man. As I was saying before, it wasn't, for me anyway, it wasn't the most captivating movie.
What'd you give it?
I gave it a 5.
5? Fuck.
I like the score.
Mm-hmm.
The score and the pace for me, but yeah, that's about it. Don't really have any insights. What'd you give it?
I gave a 7.5, man. I got to say, the score, the pace, like you said, the acting out of Sandler, but also out of the lady that he was with.
Yeah, she was good. Yeah.
Obviously, Philip Seymour Hoffman did his thing. I thought the shot selection was like magic. And I just thought the script was banging. I thought the writing, I was about to say whoever wrote it, PTA wrote this as well. Yeah, I just thought it was like, yeah, banging. I thought that like in between the second and third act, or maybe early third act, it lost me a bit in terms of like engagement, but I thought it was made really well. And yeah, it was like the originality of it was crazy. Will I watch it again? No, I won't. But I still think everyone should watch it one time.
Give it a go at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's Welcome to the Potty, man. You know what to do. Welcome to the Potty on everything. Rate, review, 5 stars. Follow us. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Love. I love you guys. Don't forget to love yourselves. And as always, bung bung.